Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world effectively manage risk. For access to free educational tools and resources for the active individual trader, please visit activetrader.cmegroup.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in for this episode with Dr. Jessica Haymeyer. Remember, new shows are posted on Mondays and Thursdays. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes and YouTube. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a review on iTunes. Before I play today's interview for you, I want to give a shout out to the great sponsors of Futures Radio Show. CME Group, Trading Technologies, RJO Futures, and Top Step Trader. To learn more about these sponsors and the important things they are doing for futures traders, be sure to click on their logos on our website. Today, I spoke with functional medicine physician, Dr. Jessica Haymeyer. Many of you are probably wondering, why am I having a functional medicine physician on the podcast? Well, most of you know that I had a heart attack at 36 while at my trading screens, and I have since spent a lot of time working on my mental and physical health. I believe for traders to have long, sustained careers in the trading industry, they need to work just as hard on mental and physical health as they do the technicals and the fundamentals. Today, Dr. Haymeyer and I had a great discussion about data-driven medicine, how achieving good health is personal, dealing with brain fog, and Dr. Haymeyer gives us some initial steps for getting healthier. Last but not least, we discussed Whole30, microbiome, and her thoughts on going gluten-free. So without further ado, let me take you right to the interview with Dr. Haymeyer. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what type of medicine you practice.
So I practice data-driven, outcome-oriented, natural medicine. In some worlds, you'll hear that referred to as functional medicine, but a really simple way to understand what I do and how I practice is simply data-driven, outcome-oriented, natural medicine.
I want to ask you about some of the all the different letters at the end of your name. Talk to us about the licenses you hold.
Yeah, sure. So the first letter after my name is DS, which stands for Doctor of Chiropractic Medicine. So in school, in chiropractic school, one of the things I didn't know when I started the four-year program is that we have about 200 hours of nutrition-based education. Now, to give you a reference point, MDs have about 20 hours of nutrition-based education. I have three brothers total. Two of them are MDs, and they could diagnose you with scurvy if you went a really long time without vitamin C, right? You know, their extensive nutritional knowledge is just not there. They didn't have that in their school within their coursework. And so throughout the course of chiropractic school, it kind of dawned on me that while I had intended on practicing more of the, you know, what you kind of think of when you hear the word chiropractor, that this was really an opportunity to dig deeper and ultimately function as a natural internal medicine doctor. So from chiropractic school, I actually went on to get my MS, my Master's of Science in Nutrition and Functional Medicine, which is the next letter you see. The next letter is LDN, which stands for Licensed Dietitian Nutritionist, which is basically the equivalent of a graduate level RD. And CNS stands for Certified Nutrition Specialist. And to get that degree, you need to complete about 1,000 hours of clinical work and then sit for a board exam to obtain that. And then I also, there's an organization called the Institute of Functional Medicine, and some of your listeners may be familiar with some of the doctors who are very active in that organization, people like Mark Hyman, there's a man named Tom O'Brien, There are a number of really great functional medicine practitioners who have really led the organization and are bringing this to more people. And so I'm a certified practitioner through the Institute of Functional Medicine.
Very cool. And I'm very curious about how you use data for medicine. And so talk to us about data-driven medicine and outcome-oriented natural medicine and what it all means.
So I think it's helpful to even start with outcome-oriented before we talk about the data portion. Because, as Yogi Berra would say, if you don't know where you're going, you'll end up someplace else. Right, to start with, to achieve anything, it's first really important to be very clear about what your outcomes are. How do we know that you win? And certainly everybody wants to be more healthy. They want to live a long life. They want to reduce suffering. But each person, that's going to show up a little bit differently. So I like to hear from people when we start working together, one of the first things that I will ask them is, what is your vision of optimal health? And everybody's got a different definition of that, but we start with the outcome in mind. And then with that outcome, the data that we gather helps us understand how we're going to get there. And so that data is lab tests, both standard lab tests that you might complete with your doctor at your annual exam, as well as specialty lab tests. Within those standard lab tests, not only am I going to look at things that you may have done at an annual exam, but I'm also going to look at a lot of novel lab tests, things that look at your inflammation, things that look at various nutrients, get an understanding of how your body is processing and dealing with chemicals and stressors. Those are some examples of different types of lab data that I will gather in order for us to understand what is the appropriate intervention for you to move you towards that vision of optimal health for you. In terms of natural interventions, my natural interventions, they're going to be nutritional in nature. And that can be everything from being very specific. Sometimes it's necessary in those specialty lab tests to test for food sensitivities. Food sensitivities are delayed or hidden reactions to foods, often hidden. They can show up as everything from joint pain to asthma to recurrent sickness to kind of decreased ability to focus. They can show up in a lot of different ways, but those tests, again, help me be really specific with those nutritional interventions. So nutritional interventions, I'll use supplementation, whether that's vitamins or minerals or botanicals or anti-inflammatory supplements. I will use those as indicated by the lab tests we performed and what your outcomes, what we're looking to achieve together. And then lifestyle, which is, different based on the individual and where they are in their life and the challenges they're encountering and where they're looking to get.
As many people know that listen to the podcast, I had a heart attack and it was 5 years ago, and I have invested so much of my time into personalizing the best diet for myself, exercise for myself. Mm-hmm. And to me, it sounds like you focus on the person. You're not just focused on a specific type of medicine for a general problem with somebody. You're focused on that person and what's best for them.
Absolutely. And that's a really great distinction there, right? It's medicine to really be effective. We want to be really individualized, right? The idea of taking a one size fits all for, medical interventions, it's as ridiculous as only wearing one size fits all clothing, right? We need to find very specific interventions for individuals based on their genes, based on their personal health history, based on where they want to go, right? What do they want the trajectory of their health to look like? And also based on, their lifestyle. What works for one person is not going to work for someone else logistically necessarily, right? So I spend a lot of time not just figuring out, okay, what is it that needs to happen here, but also collaborating with my patients so that we can strategize and figure out what the next best step is. You know, because the fact of the matter is, for most of us in creating change, it's not a straight line. Typically, it's a bit of a dance, and it's figuring out where to start and how to take the actions necessary to move forward, and then figuring out what is the next best step. And, you know, for you, you know, having had a heart attack, right, that's a really strong motivation to turn things around really quickly, right?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I look back, and you just nailed it when you said it's not a straight line. It's like a dance, because for the first year or two following my heart attack, did by the book dieting and exercising, and I didn't feel any better. I eventually started to think about this and go, okay, this is so similar to trading. I was watching the best traders in the world go into the pit and make money every day, and I was losing, and it was pissing me off. It was a very similar situation with health and diet and, you know, exercise. I wasn't getting the results that I wanted following something by the book. So what I started to do was personalize it. So I want to go through an example of something I think a lot of traders struggle with. I know in my life I've struggled with this, is I start the day off feeling really good, really sharp. And an hour or two, maybe 3 hours into the day on a busy day, you start losing that focus a little bit. And then it could last for a good period of time. Brain fog, basically. You know, we either feed it with caffeine, a lot of us, or just do different things that we can to keep our, you know, energy drinks nowadays, to keep ourselves focused. And I have gone through, for me, a major struggle with this, to try and find the right meals to eat in the morning, and all sorts of trial and error of how long I could stay focused for. You know, I've talked recently about staying hydrated, all sorts of different things that I do to try to maintain that focus throughout the day, because it's so important. I know that I've made so many mistakes by having brain fog. So for example, if a trader came in to you, and I know that you'd have to, like you said, you'd run some tests. What would be the tests that you would run? What kind of information would you gather for that type of an example?
Yeah. So in that type of an example, I would definitely be getting a good understanding of what their typical diet looks like. In this particular example, I would be interested in knowing what their vitamin B12 levels are, because B12 plays a really important role. And actually coenzyme Q10 plays a really important role in our production of energy. So B12 and CoQ10, I would be interested in finding out what those levels are. And I mean, I see those numbers down in the dumps with some frequency, and I'm pretty strict about where I like those levels. I don't like them just within lab normal range. I want to see those in really hearty, healthy ranges, not just, you know, barely squeaking by making it ranges. And so from a testing standpoint, I might be interested in finding out what those numbers look like. And then I'd also be curious in that example to find out, okay, yeah, what are they eating for breakfast? Are they getting out of bed and eating roughly within an hour of waking? I know there's a lot of talk about intermittent fasting these days, and it does have its time and place. But in this situation, when I'm thinking about someone who's, you know, hitting the wall mentally and in terms of their focus in the morning, I wouldn't think that would be a good idea for them. So I want to make sure they're getting some good protein in the morning, 20 to 30 grams. That's going to help keep their blood sugar levels stable. Oftentimes, when that kind of mid-morning energy level focus goes in the tanks, it can be, it often is, because their blood sugar is just not being regulated very well. And a recipe for not regulating your blood sugar very well, what you don't want to do, is not eat in the morning or eat all carbs in the morning, right? Have cereal, have a bagel, have, you know, a croissant or a muffin or something like that. All of those are going to lead to your blood sugar in the tanks mid-morning and you being probably cranky, having a difficult time focusing, and you know, just not being on your A game mentally. So that would be really the first place I would be looking. And then if that was not successful, if those weren't successful, just to give you a little more information, I might be thinking about a food sensitivity test, right? If someone came in and they're actually doing a really good job of keeping their blood sugar stable in the morning, and they're getting really good quality sleep at night, any of those situations, if I'm pretty sure, okay, it seems by all measures, they're, you know, they're doing a good job taking care of their what they know to, then I might be thinking about a food sensitivity test, looking to see if there's more yeast in the body than ideal. So those are some places that I would start to look to see if they're taking a toll on someone's ability to focus.
It's amazing to me how much I learned about myself and how important diet, exercise, and how big of an impact it had on my mind. So Dr. Haymeyer, what I'd like to do is, I know many of our listeners are already, they know some things they could be doing. You know, we've talked about, you know, eating better. You've mentioned exercise. Sleep, I think, is something that's also very, very important. But they're not doing it. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that they're not doing it? And also, what could you tell them to help them take that initial step?
Yes, I love that those questions. So, Anthony, the first thing that I would say is get out your pen and paper and actually get it out right now, or pull up a Word document, you know, truly, whichever one you prefer. And I'd like you to start to write down, first of all, what is your idea of optimal health and vitality? What is it? And what is it you don't have that you want? So you can get very clear about what it is that you want that you don't have. And then the next question I want you to answer is, why is that so important to you? Really, why is that level of vitality and health so important to you? And I even invite you to go to kind of an uncomfortable place and think about 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if nothing changed in your health, if the trajectory just continued, what would that be like? You know, really, would that be really awful? Like, would you even get to be here? And actually let yourself go there emotionally. And then the other thing I'd invite you to consider is, if you think about how you want your health to be, what would your experience of life be like if you had that? Like, what would it be like walking down the street feeling like that, or sitting at your desk doing that, or the level of productivity and accomplishment you could have in your life that you can't have right now? What would it be like to have that? And I think those two pieces are a great place to start, because once you're pretty darn clear about what it is you must have in your health that you don't have, and you really let yourself become aware of what it's costing you and what would become available if you had it, then you can start to think about, okay, what is the next step I could take to get myself there? And there is no such thing as a small step, right? Really, I'm such a fan of starting where you are. I want you to start where you are and take that next step, and then take that next step, right? It's constantly just take that next step, but also playing the game of continuing to keep alive for yourself both your vision of health and vitality, as well as your why. Your why. Why must you have that?
I love everything you said, and a couple of things I want to touch base on. I talked about this at the beginning of the quarter on Twitter. I did a video on it. I said, if you want to move the dial forward in your life, everybody focuses on going from 0 to 10. Just move it from 0 to 1. Make one small step in the direction that you want to be in, and slowly work your way there. You know, I mean, I think that it's as traders, we always want results right now. And that's what our whole life is based upon results. But you get there by slowly, surely adding things to your routine, to your lifestyle to become better. And the one thing, one of the goals of me talking more and more about this on this show and on my Trading Futures show is I was forced to have to make a change. And I didn't feel good leading up to it. I knew that stress was overwhelming my life. I didn't feel great. I talked about brain fog, and it wasn't even just brain fog. It was lack of energy, you know, and you just, when you are in that state of mind, you're less likely to exercise. You're more likely to eat foods that you shouldn't be eating. You know, I know that for me, I just was making, you know, mental mistakes in my personal life and in my business life, all because I just wasn't focused. And I just didn't do anything about it because I didn't have to. I could have continued down that path, and who knows how things would work out for me. But like you said, imagine if your productivity could go up, imagine how good you could feel. And I look at the way I feel now and I look back and go, it took for me to get a heart attack to realize that this is how much better I could feel. It just seems so crazy for me now, not that I didn't make those choices, those steps, just those little steps. It took me years after a heart attack to get where I am today. Years. So, you know, if I can do it, anybody out there listening can do it. you could do it. And like you said, Dr. Haymeyer, make that one. There's no such thing as too small of a step, right? Just make one step in the direction that you want to go. A couple of topics I want to talk about that are pretty hot topics when it comes to diet, nutrition, natural medicine. And so before we get into rapid fire, I'm going to do maybe a little mini rapid fire here. Something that I've been reading about is this Whole 30. Is this a good idea or a bad idea?
That is such a great question. And it kind of loops back to what you were talking about people wanting to go from 0 to 10 in 2 seconds. For those of you who aren't familiar with Whole30, Whole30 is a 30-day commitment to eating superbly clean, right? That means no grains, no dairy, no legumes, like such as soy or beans, no processed food, no sugar, no alcohol, no caffeine, right? There are a lot of things that, you know, people who are stepping into it, a lot of them are really shifting. A lot of individuals are really shifting their diet. So Whole30, my biggest concern with Whole30 is that it endorses a quick fix mindset. So people step into it and they engage with superbly clean eating for 30 days. And then on day 31, they go off the rails, they eat a pizza, they drink their weight in beer. And, you know, as I said earlier, I care way more about what you are sustaining, what you are doing regularly in 3 years or 4 years or 5 years than I do in 30 days. So that is one of my concerns in one that I see play out over and over again. Whole 30 is a good idea when you're using it to open up a new chapter in your life or to discover what foods you react to poorly. So for example, there is a woman who I'm working with right now who she made her way to me by way of Whole30. She decided to do Whole30. She had severe back pain. This is like a woman in her mid-30s. Her back pain was no joke, a 9 out of 10 consistently. She'd gone to so many specialists, had gotten little relief over the course of decades. She'd gone to physical therapists. She'd gone to orthopedic surgeons. She'd been on medicine. She'd tried PT. She'd done all these different things. She did Whole30 and her pain went from a 9 out of 10 to a 0 out of 10. So for her, it really opened her eyes. For her, she had some real serious food sensitivities that were causing that level of pain. Now, certainly there were other things going on, but she was able to manage it by modifying her diet. So like much else in life, it's not all bad, but for most people, I don't see it as a great way to start, right?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, for me personally, those types of diets that I see out there, like the Whole 30, I agree with you completely. They're stepping stones. For me, in my personal life, the only way that I ever made any significant changes was committing to a lifestyle change, embracing the change. Mm-hmm. You know, not looking mm-hmm. for something for a short-term fix. It's the same thing that we do as traders, right? Oh, this pattern mm-hmm. isn't working today. Let me look for one that is working today. Well, guess what? That might work for a short period of time, but over time, you're not getting any better and you're not becoming a better trader. All you're doing is kicking the can down the road to where eventually it's just not going to work out for you. So I think that you have to commit to a lifestyle change, and some of these diets and these exercises and these classes, they can be stepping stones, like you said, in the right direction. A couple mm-hmm. more things I want to discuss before we get into rapid fire. The microbiome, that has been getting a lot of press lately. What exactly is it, and why should we even care about it?
Yeah, so the microbiome is the entirety of the microbes that live in your body and on your body. So we are actually made more of microbes than we are of human cells, believe it or not. There are more microbes on and in our body than there are human cells, which begs the question, are we actually human, right? But most of those microbes live in our colon or large intestine, same thing. And the majority of them are bacteria. So there are bacteria that are very beneficial that we want to live in us. And what those bacteria do for us is they actually fight bad bugs, whether that's bacteria or a virus or a parasite or yeast, right? They fight other microbes. They help us in the production of certain vitamins and minerals. They support healthy digestion. They're anti-inflammatory. They are at the heart of the gut-brain connection, right? The majority of our neurotransmitters are actually produced in our gut, and that is at least partially due to our microbiome. They help us with our fasting glucose, so they play a role in diabetes. They also play a role in weight loss. So there are a lot of different reasons to care about that microbiome. And the more we learn, the more we learn its importance. And it's actually one of the consequences of recurrent antibiotic use. I'm not against antibiotics. I'm for appropriate use and really only using them when they're necessary, and also setting the body up to decrease the likeliness that you are going to get an infection out of the gate that would need something like that. But, you know, recurrent use of antibiotics really takes its toll on that microbiome. And so a disruption in the microbiome can show up in so many ways. You know, a lot of the ways that I just mentioned, whether that's, a mood, you know, something related to mood, depression or anxiety, or decreased ability to focus, or changes in digestion, a difficult time losing weight. So there are a lot of different things that microbiome does, and a lot of reasons why we want to do what we can to foster and preserve a healthy microbiome.
Last question before we get into rapid fire. As someone who loves gluten, and aside from the people that have celiac disease, is gluten really that bad for you?
That is a great question. So gluten, for those of you who are, most people, I think, you know, the word gluten has become such a widespread term used that most people have heard it. But so gluten is a protein that's found in certain grains, not all grains, but certain grains. Grains like wheat have gluten in them. So you'll find gluten in typical, you know, flour or pasta or breads, things like that. So I will say, from a food sensitivity standpoint, I do commonly see people benefiting from eliminating gluten. And so kind of looking at what kind of symptoms would tip you off that eliminating gluten would be a good idea, I would actually think about that with someone who has a difficulty focusing. All else things equal, their diet looks pretty good. I would consider either doing a test, a food sensitivity test to determine if they're reacting to gluten, or doing a 30-day elimination of gluten to see if they feel better. I also would think about that with chronic digestive distress, whether that's constipation or diarrhea or bloating, I would think about gluten. Now, does that mean everybody under the sun has to avoid gluten? No, but even for the people who are consuming gluten, I'm always going to be encouraging them to select foods that are going to promote their health. So then we want to step back and think about, okay, what food with gluten has the potential to promote health? And that is going to be a whole grain, right? I never am I going to encourage the consumption of white bread or of white pasta, or things like that, right? But doing something like whole barley, you know, in a soup, or doing something like a whole wheat pasta, if you find you do at the end of the day tolerate gluten just fine, then that would be appropriate. You know, you're going to be getting the value you would get is fiber there. And so fiber will feed that microbiome, right? And it will also help with normal and healthy digestion, of course, tied to that microbiome, but lots of great benefits with that fiber.
I have to admit, I've definitely cut the amount of gluten that I eat in my diet regularly, but there's just some things there's just no replacement for for me. And I've never felt bad for eating it, you know, for pizza or pasta. I just prefer going the traditional route. And, you know, I see so many people that have, that don't have the celiac disease that have just said, you know what, I'm done eating it. You know, it's bad for you. And sometimes these things just become, you know, bad words all of a sudden, and no one knows exactly why, but they just stop eating it or stop doing things because of that. But great stuff, Doc. Really, really enjoy this, but we're not done yet. I have some rapid fire questions next if you're ready for those.
Great.
All right, everybody. Our rapid fire segment is sponsored by Trading Technologies. Access the global markets from virtually anywhere with TT. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. And now you can trade cryptocurrency spot and derivative markets side by side. For more information, please visit tradingtechnologies.com. Doc, first question for you. What trader has influenced your life the most and why?
Well, I love this question because it's my husband, Chris, for obvious reasons, but also because he is kind to the core and he operates with such a high level of integrity. And through challenges, he has an extraordinary ability to keep his eye on the prize. He's also the most innovative thinker I know. He's always thinking a step ahead. He's making very well-grounded assessments about where things are going in the economy and politics and in life. And, you know, I know you've known him for a long time, so you've seen his innovation at work here in the trading industry. And he inspires me every day.
If you guys listening to this show haven't heard the show with Chris Haymeyer, just go on my site and find it. He's always ahead of the curve. Next question for you, Dr. Haymeyer. Single worst food you can put in your body?
Sugar, hands down. And that means things that taste sweet or are low in fiber, like that rice or pasta or white potatoes. So those low fiber carbs, you know, simple carbs, they don't taste sweet, but they get broken down into glucose, aka sugar, immediately in your bloodstream. And there's really nothing good that sugar is going to be doing for your body. Whether that's causing type 2 diabetes, increasing cardiovascular disease, you know, messing up that microbiome. My brothers like to tease me because my favorite hashtag is hashtag sugar is the devil.
Single best food you can put in your body?
That's a tough question because your body needs more than one thing to thrive. But for sure, colorful vegetables are the foundation of healthy eating. But I will say vegans are some of the sickest people I see because they are so deficient in nutrients that are difficult to get only from vegetables. So I'd say vegetables as a foundation, but make sure you get your lean proteins and healthy fats too.
What do you eat at the airport?
At O'Hare, Frontera Fresco, they've got a great salad. It's their taqueria salad. I skip the cheese, add some chicken, and I like my dressing on the side. Or if I'm just looking for a snack, chips and guac. At Midway, there's a Mexican restaurant. I think it's called De Colores, and they have some really great bowls. You can throw some chicken on there, some good veggies, and some guac.
Three supplements that you recommend often and why?
I'm going to go with magnesium citrate, berberine, and vitamin D. Magnesium citrate is one of my favorites, especially for people in high stress jobs, because it really helps dampen that production of cortisol, that stress hormone, when taken at night in particular. That's when you want people to take that magnesium citrate. So it will support sleep. It will help if someone's constipated. It helps with that. It helps with blood pressure, and it also helps with fasting glucose. So magnesium citrate is one that I love. Berberine is a great antioxidant. It helps promote a healthy microbiome, supports healthy cholesterol, fasting glucose, and it's also anti-inflammatory. Vitamin D, I think by now a lot of people have heard about this one. It helps with mood. It helps with healthy hormone function. It helps with your immune function. You know, we live in Chicago, and so vitamin D is typically, we get it from the sun. So either we all need to move down and spend more time with you, Anthony, or we need to take it. You know, we just got a supplement.
Best form of exercise?
That is a great question. So the punchline is the best form of exercise is the one that you'll do. The one that you'll do consistently. But if I have a say, I'm going with strength training. I love that strength training because it increases your muscle mass, which increases your resting metabolism, which burns more calories while you sleep. So that's going to help with weight maintenance, but it's also going to help with insulin sensitivity. It's going to help with testosterone production for guys, right? It's going to keep your bone density in a good range, and that muscle is going to help you be better at everything else you like doing, whether that's golf or riding your bike, whatever it is, that muscle's on your side. But really, there was a great newer study out of Rush that showed that movement of any sort means a healthier brain. So even if it's not intentional exercise, when you move, you are going to help your brain and preserve cognitive function over time. So again, starting where you are is what my vote is. But if you're really ready to jump on board with strength training, it is my preferred way to start.
What was one of the hardest things you've had to overcome practicing natural medicine?
That is a great question. And I would really say one of the hardest things was coming to terms with the fact that not everyone is ready to change when they walk in the door. Sometimes people walk in the door and they want to change, but they're just not ready yet. Sometimes people are ready to change, but in order to produce the outcomes they say they want, they need to move a little faster, or quite literally their life is at risk, right? So it's difficult to see people not taking the actions they need in order to produce the outcomes they want. But that is also one of the reasons over time it has really allowed me to figure out that if people can connect to why their health is so important to them, they are much more likely to take ownership of what needs to happen and start to move the ball forward.
If you had an elevator pitch me your edge as a healthcare provider, what would you say?
I would say, honestly, my commitment. So I've done the work and continue to do the work to gain knowledge, you know, certification degrees, continuing education, all those different things. But to me, I really think that fundamental knowledge should be a given in your healthcare provider. But I love people, and I want to see people realizing their full potential. And it's really tough to realize your full potential if you don't feel well, or if you're life is literally at risk, right? And so to be able to jump in and work with people to help them get those outcomes so that they can be on this planet as long as they can and provide what only they uniquely can, I love that. It is such a gift, and I like playing for the win. Like, let's make that happen.
Last question for today. your favorite thing to do when you're not working?
Well, definitely spending time with Chris and our family. So whether that's my stepkids and their significant others, or my three brothers and their families, and my mom, or our dog Charlie, those are all really wonderful things. I love it when we get to travel someplace, preferably warm, and do something active. And, you know, making great meals to enjoy with my family. And you know, doing anything that gets me learning and expanding, both as an individual and professionally. I love that.
Dr. Haymeyer, where can people find you on Twitter, and give us a website to check out?
Yeah. So on Twitter, people can find me at Well Empowered, EMPOWERED. And that is my website as well, www.wellempowered.com.
Dr. Haymeyer, what can I say? This was awesome. Thank you so much for joining me on Futures Radio Show.
It's been such a pleasure, Anthony. And I really applaud you for being a stand for your fellow comrades in the trading industry and being an inspiration and helping them get the information they need to really be the best that they can.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.